Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible verse for our reflection today is from Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the mid-1980s, I remember traveling from my city of Mumbai, where I lived, where I was born and brought up, to the southern part of India, Trivandrum, where my parents came from. In many ways, I myself was a 1.5 second generation person myself, because I lived in a culture, in a place which was completely different from the South Indian person and family that I was a part of. And as it turned out, my journey to this native village was completely a contrast in itself to the big city of Mumbai where I lived. By the time I reached this native place of mine where my mother tongue was spoken, I found that there was no running water, there was no electricity. I had walked through the village to go to the nearest marketplace, or for that matter, even go to our church. And the experience for a 10-year-old boy was not a great one. And as morning dawned, I was woken up by the sounds of women singing and praying. It was still pitch dark black in the room in which I had been sleeping. And it was soon clear to me that it was not my own house in this village that was singing and praising God, but it was how the village woke up. There were women singing and praising and praying to God. And in my father's house, it was my grandmother and my father's sisters who were doing this. How could they disturb a young boy in his sleep? But here it was, a new experience completely to me. As an inquisitive youngster, a little inquiry into why this extended singing and long prayers fetched me an answer. This is what we learned from our Lutheran missionaries and catechists, my grandmother said. When I was a child, my mother did this in her house, and now I do this as a part of our family routine. It is Jesus who brought us light and life in the midst of darkness in which we had lived for so many centuries. And so we are his, and we have to start our day with him. We can never forget him. And we have to sing and praise him and pray to him, because he is the one who listens to our cries. The faith practice of my grandmother and the theological lesson that I learned from her did have its influence on this 10-year-old grandson of hers, because I learned an important lesson then and right there. Our identity in Christ and living a life of faith in him were important and were part of who we were. But you see, as a young boy of the 1.5 generation kind myself, living in a place that was totally different from where my grandmother and my parents were so used to, was challenging in itself. And holding on to this important lesson was not easy. The western city of Mumbai had different people, speaking different languages, a different culture, different sets of Hindu gods and goddesses and festivals. And mostly people from the northern part of India that lived in Mumbai made a South Indian like me, who is dark in complexion, feel like an outsider. Mumbai was completely different from the southern city of Trivandrum, where my parents and grandparents were totally at home. And in my small mind, the good thing was that at least it was not my problem alone. All my Mumbai friends coming from Trivandrum and belonging to my Lutheran church had the same problem. Our parents were worried about losing us to the influence of our new culture and our new world, as we, the Malayalam-speaking 1.5 second generation, struggled to navigate the majority Hindi language and Hindu culture and fit in. In many ways, this is what the psalmist also finds himself speaking to in his day and age. Psalm 100 is all about a posture that the people of God should have while they are invited, the people of Israel, as they are invited to take, as they approach God's holy presence with hearts of thanksgiving and songs of praise. But the people of Israel are exposed to different worldly influences in their culture and time. Foreign gods like Baal, Asherah, and more, the daily desire to be influenced by the culture of their neighbors, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Canaanites, and more, the daily desire to be to gel in, to fit in, to mingle with the worldly pleasures, and also accept the ideas and values that are opposite to what Yahweh expected of his people. The feeling that Yahweh was not listening to their prayers, that their expectations were not being fulfilled, that probably it was better to find their own solutions to their problems. The psalmist's song is then a reminder to God's people that they are to thank, praise, and fully trust God in the midst of all these temptations. In fact, these temptations are relevant to you and me today. It's no different in 21st century America, where less than a quarter of our population goes to church or identifies itself as Christian. Whether it's the first generation, whether it's the 1.5 generation, whether it's the second generation or more generations, we are exposed to a world today that has so many gods competing for our attention. They too claim to be good, to be faithful, and to be loving. Our godly idols could be our knowledge. It could be our careers. It could be our financial resources. It could be our powerful friendships. It could be our political and ideological views, and many others. All these entice us as good that we can pursue and follow. Our worldly idol of love promotes love as transactional, desiring instant personal gratification and satisfaction and fulfillment, while our worldly idol of faithfulness prioritizes a faithfulness that is yielding results in the here and now for the person or for the community at large. And yes, in the midst of all these temptations, our generations are also caught up in the struggle to truly live out a life of thanksgiving and praise to the true God. And you and I also cry out for our children and our grandchildren. We wonder, would they keep their faith or would they fall away to the influences and idols of the world? It can seem like an uphill struggle, but not all is lost. There is hope. For as the psalmist reminds us in verse 3 of Psalm 100, know that the Lord is good. It is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Our hope, just like the psalmist, is anchored not on us, but is anchored on our God. In our God, there is hope for today and for the future, because our God is good. His character never changes. That holy triune God is essentially good, just as He said when He created all things to be, especially you and me, created in His image and in His likeness. Our Lord was so good that He wanted bad, sinful people like you and me to be returned back to Him. And this He only did because He is good. And this good Lord now loves us with His grace and His mercy, a love that endures forever. This He showed through His Son. For as scriptures say and teach us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And this love was so enduring that He would suffer for you and me, that He would die on a cross for you and me, so that we could be brought back to the Father. And this good and loving God is faithful over generations. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. God is faithful to His word. God is faithful to His character. And God is faithful to His promise, just as He promised that He will build the church and even the gates of Hades would not prevail over it. That is why you and I are here, because God is faithful He has called you and me to be part of His holy community, and that is why you and I are here today. We are testament to His faithfulness, and this is what we seek to pass on to our next generation, that we know of a God who is good, enduring in love, and faithful over generations. About 5 years ago, my grandmother passed away. Till the end, just like you and me, she sought to live her life as a faithful believer. Just like you and me, she also would agree that she was not always good, she was not always loving, she was not always faithful. But it was not about her. She had come to know and witness to a God who was true to her, who was good to her, who was loving and faithful. And this is what many in of her generation of outcast Hindus in the villages of Trivandrum had come to experience, hear, and learn from the gospel message that came through LCMS missionaries in the early 900s in South India. And this gospel message they embraced. They embraced a God who had embraced them in their own outcastness. A good, loving, and faithful God who embraced all nations, all tribes, and all people. This God revealed in Scripture became a part of their identity through the faithful witness of their previous generations. And so now it was this generation's job and mission to pass on that faith to my generation. And my generation found this gospel message and the community formed around this gospel message to be an encouraging place, to be a stabilizing foundation in the midst of our own challenging life realities as a 1.5 and second generation. It is likewise our mission today to pass on this faith that we have so graciously received to our next. And as we gather together today for, and also tomorrow for the multi-ethnic symposium, and reflect on how our future generations are to be invited to carry forward this faith journey, let us draw strength from our God, who is unlike any other. Let our conversations, discussions, reflections, sharings, and networkings, and everything be anchored in our God, who is good, loving, and faithful to all generations. And let us partake in this journey to bring thanks and praise to our God. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace that passeth all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.